Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 Euro bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 Euro gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Mucki Sandwich Eis, je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 Euro. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Triforce Mailbag!
The Mailbag! Woo!
Welcome everyone.
Oh, we're here to answer your mail.
Baby, we are.
Plax has told us the bag is bulging.
It's
ready
so
to burst.
Bulging. So bulging.
Right. Okay.
And we are going to start with the vast backlog of jingles. We have 12 jingles.
Oh my lord.
Okay. Some of these are
we have to listen to all 12 lord. Of them?
We're going to listen to all 12. Okay,
good
I'm telling
God.
You, this is a musical special. None of these are AI,
right.
And one of them. Let me just find the one. This is. Do you remember we chatted to about a composer, Robin Haig? We looked him up. We saw all his compositions. He's done
yeah,
all
yeah,
this
yeah,
cool
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So here's his email. We'll start with Robin's. This is not because I want to set a high bar, okay?
Right.
But also I kind of do want to set a high bar. Robin is an actual composer, as we know. I will read you his email. Thanks for reading my email. Quite the whirlwind. Being banned from the podcast, unbanned, appointed head listener, and having music demanded of me within the space of a few minutes. I'm sorry, I don't remember any of that. Being banned from the podcast, but he was apparently. While his two-year-old was napping, he has written us a song. I'll play it in a second. To answer Sips's question, his most performed piece is called Filth.
Filth.
And it's been played 27 times. Now, bear in mind, having a composition played 27 times means a whole orchestra got together and played
and
it.
Played it 27
Not
times.
Not that it has 27 listens on Spotify or something.
That's so funny how that number is high when it's orchestra's playing
yeah,
it, but low in any other context.
Oh,
yeah.
It's terribly low. That's just your mates. Like, you posted a song on Facebook and 27 people listened
yeah.
to it. You've got 27 listens, but a whole orchestra getting together. That's a lot of people, because they've got to practice it too. Mostly by the same orchestra in Germany, the Orchester im Treppenhaus.
Right.
I got very lucky that they're an orchestra who tour around Germany a lot, and they liked the piece enough, they have just kept playing it. Perhaps more interesting to the three of you is my second most performed piece was informed by, of all things, the Triforce podcast. If you cast your minds back to episode 113, you talked about the Japanese game show contestant Nasubi, who had to live on his own for months on end, having to do things like eat dog food and uncooked rice.
Oh,
you
that's
he,
right. Yeah, I remember.
It was only stuff he won in mail-in competitions that he could eat. So he wrote a piece and he called it Nasubi, and that has also been played in UK, Germany, Sweden, USA, and Canada 20 times. So consider this mailbag jingle me paying you back. To answer Sips's other question, sadly, I did not write the music for 50 Cent, as I was indeed a child. However,
right.
you might like to know that back in 2017, you, Sips, also inspired me in a piece. It was when you were playing a lot of a hunting simulator game, and the game featured a piece of real hunting equipment called a bleat call.
Yes.
A box you turn upside down to make the sound of a deer. I found it really funny, so I bought a real bleat call and got a percussionist to use it in one of my pieces.
Wow. Incredible.
So here is the mailbag jingle.
You know, I did all of Wonderwall by Oasis using that thing. And it sounded great. Yeah. Like,
all right.
Yeah,
so this is Robin
cool
Haig Mailbag 2. Are you ready to play this one? All right.
Yeah.
In 3, 2, 1, play.
The mailbag. The mailbag. The mailbag here once again. The mailbag. The mailbag. The mailbag here once again. The mailbag. The mailbag, the mailbag, here, once again. Mailbag, mailbag, mailbag.
You could see how orchestras would love to play this stuff, eh?
Oh, yeah.
It's got a bit of everything in there.
Partly because it's so short. You know, they have to get to go home early.
Yeah, perfect, yeah. Robin, that was a great one. Thank you so much.
I tell you what I like about it. Like the start, that sort of that big drum beat intro sounds so reminiscent of Gay Activity.
It sounded like the start of a James Bond theme. Maybe not Goldfinger, but something like that, you know?
It's almost that 1.5 seconds of drum roll is like Barry Yogs to me. I like it, Robin. Maybe that was deliberate. Who knows? But God, it's brilliant. Mm. Wow.
Lou's got to make everything about himself. Look, he's always got to bring it back to himself somehow.
Well, you know.
Well,
listen. If you don't stroke your own conscience a bit, who's going to do it?
Stroke my conscience.
No one else is stroking my conscience.
Work the shaft of my conscience.
At least not on this podcast.
Cup the balls of my conscience.
I know.
Hiya, lads. Season's greetings and mailbag 65. PFLAX into all the jingles that have come in so far have been sent by men. So I thought I'd give it a bash and do my best to represent my fellow lady listeners out there. So this was arranged for orchestra completely by me. Okay. While I did study this sort of thing as part of my undergrad, it's been some time since I arranged with only a melody that might be a bit rusty. There was a follow-up email. I wouldn't have sent this if I'd known a professional composer was amongst the listeners. What are the odds? So this is Ash, and Ash is already apologizing for this song. This is called Triforce Mailbag Goes Orchestral. I realize I'm following the actual composer with someone who's scared of the actual composer, but it doesn't matter. This song is a banger, so it's great. Okay. Don't worry. There's no judgment.
We're ready,
here.
Ash.
I'm going to play this one.
There's lots of judgment.
This is from Ash. 3, 2, 1, play.
Oh. Nice.
Oh.
Oh. Sounds great.
Oh, this reminds
me. Man, that was so good.
It's like Final Fantasy music that
it
plays
is
during
like
the
Final
castle
Fantasy
boss
music.
Fight or something. That's what
I thought
it sounds
it was
like
very,
to me.
Very console era, that kind of
the
JRPG.
Emperor attacks the town and kills a chocobo. It's that kind
this,
of music.
This music is playing. Yeah.
Well, that was Triforce Mailbag Goes Orchestral.
That's really good.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
This one is from Cindy. You recently asked for your female listeners to submit a jingle. Mine is attached. I started listening to the Triforce podcast last year when my son and I took a road trip to move him from Wisconsin to California to start a new job. That is a long old way, by the
way. That's a long way, yeah.
Yeah.
Geez.
My son has been a fan for many years, starting with the Yogscast. Before our journey started, he warned me that he would be listening to his music and the Triforce podcast when it was his turn to drive. I was surprised that I actually enjoyed the podcast, and I've been listening to it on my own ever since.
Wow, so, what a great story. Oh
Cindy
my God,
is,
we recruited another one.
Cindy is probably about our age. I know. This is Cindy's mailbag jingle, and I warn you, this is fucking incredible. Okay?
Right, okay. Oh,
Cindy's mailbag jingle. All right, you guys ready? We're
I'll be
play
the judge
it
of that, yeah.
3, 2, 1, play.
I feel like I'm in Wisconsin right now. It's got a Wisconsin vibe to it.
Gather around, listeners. It's time for the mailbag.
Oh.
Gather round, listeners. It's time for the mailbag.
It's good, eh? It's really good.
Questions, comments, jokes, and jingles.
Jokes and jingles.
Married, widow, divorced, and single. Gather round, listeners. It's time for the mailbag.
Oh, this is...
The Triforce Mailbag.
Oh, that was fantastic. Very
isn't that beautiful. Isn't
I
that
love
beautiful?
That. Yeah, yeah.
Coming from like a warm log cabin. Yeah.
Also, I thought it was funny that in the song, Cindy's working on the fact that she's divorced and single, right? Isn't that what she said?
This is not a personal
this
ad,
is,
Cindy.
This is not the time to look for a new partner, Cindy, right? We just want to listen to your song. We live any thousands of miles apart. It
this
won't
is not
work.
Not the time to look for a new partner and certainly not the place to look for one either.
Well,
I got a girlfriend in Wisconsin. She goes to a different school. You wouldn't know her.
You say that, right? Like, they say that book clubs are good places for men to meet women because it's all women in book clubs, you know, it's hardly any men. But it's the other way around for orchestral. She's got all these lovely all these musical gentlemen. You know, everyone loves a guy who plays an instrument or does. You know, Robin Haig, he's dripping in pussy.
Oh, God,
I'm sure.
It's not. You know, he's an excellent player of the skin flute, as we all know. Well, thank you, Sydney. Right, so, this one's from Kate.
So, Sydney, you know, good luck. Yeah,
good luck. This is I heard the call for the women jinglers.
Yeah.
And therefore, please find this included. Apologies for the bare bones audio. It is. But I dare say it's more jingle than many of the ones already featured. Yeah, I'm going to put the dudes already submitted on blast, as the Americans like to say. The audio clips are too long and more along the lines of promos or theme songs. A jingle, in my uncultured opinion, should be no more than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So this is from Kate. Podcast jingle, it's called podcastjingle.mp3.
Okay.
It's 8 seconds.
Oh my God.
Perfect.
Go. 3, 2, 1, play.
Hold on to your tiny cocks and your big old twats. It's the Triforce Podcast.
Oh.
Mailbag.
That is a jingle. She's right though. That is a jingle.
That's a jingle. It's a little too short. Like, I like the longer ones.
It needs something in the background. It's a bit empty room, isn't it?
Thank
you. Who sent that in?
Oh, I can't remember. But thank you.
Someone.
Kate.
Thank
I think you. It was Kate. It might have been a Kate.
Kate,
either
thanks
way.
So much.
We've forgotten your name and your jingle
Kate,
already.
I can't go back to the other screen because then I'll get lost where I am.
No,
I'm
it's
very
okay.
disorganized.
Look, I appreciate the effort. I think I know what you're doing. I don't want the entire soundtrack to Harry Potter as my jingle. It needs to be like a little catchy advert, you know, like those adverts for Jet 2 Holidays or whatever, that music that sticks in your head. Okay.
That's
what you're trying to do.
Thank you, Kate.
Just keep it going. Honestly, I'd rather you made 20 8-second long ones than one 18-20, so the other way around.
Excellent. Well put.
This is from
Ross. This is a double submission. Okay.
Jesus.
These are kind of remixes of ones we've already had. These are loving tributes to the favorite submissions from someone else. So this one is called The Mailbag Here Once Again .mp3, I think this is.
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
3, 2, 1, play.
Oh.
Well, this is nice.
I like
it. It's like an arcade, like a 1980s arcade game.
Oh, it's harking back to our video game roots.
Yeah. You can imagine a pixelated 2D platformer.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like the end, you know? You finish the game.
Credits.
Yeah,
oh.
It's epic. Oh, there's a little bit of singing in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is spectacular. If we were actually a podcast about video games and had any...
Oh, yeah.
But also, I feel like that era of chiptune video games is just ever so slightly too old for me.
I like the 8-second jingle, though. Like, I really do like the short jingle.
It's great.
You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
Triforce Podcast, we're here once again. Go fuck yourselves and have a nice day. Like, it just has to be a quick jingle, you know? Like, doesn't have to be
I love chiptune stuff. I still listen to a lot of chiptune music.
You're saying you're too young to remember this era of chiptune, which is probably fair enough. But I'll tell you what, we didn't appreciate how good the music was in games back then. You can find a lot of YouTube videos where people are just saying, listen to this absolute banger. It's a menu music from some forgotten game.
Is there a secure core truck backing up into your house right now?
Yeah,
no, there's some building work going on.
That's chiptune,
actually. That's chiptune.
Period's trying
to
get into.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a nice beat going.
And the sound of an airplane going over as well. We got a fucking song right here.
Yeah,
this is the mailbag ready to shit.
Ready to shit.
.mp3 remixed. You ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, play.
What? It's the same as the last one.
Just wait.
It's the Trap House Podcast. Are you ready to shit?
Are you ready to shit?
Trap House Podcast. Are you ready to shit? Trap House Podcast. Are you ready to shit?
I'm ready to shit.
Just have some patience. When the music's playing, you're like, when's the music going to stop? Why is this the same? Just calm down.
Yeah, Lewis.
I thought I was having like a stroke because I thought I played the wrong one.
Just trust me. Just trust me a little bit.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's a consummate professional. He can't... Don't... Don't judge him.
Just calm down.
Don't sell him short. Let him do his thing.
You ready to shit? Who says, what's that from? Who did
so
that
another
quote?
Guy sent that in. That are you ready to shit? I can't remember why. Are you ready to shit? Was the,
who's
lyric.
Where's the vocal come from?
That guy. It's a remix of that guy's song, and he's remixed it with this chiptune. So it's let's move on. I know it's very confusing. This is from Matt from Brum. Huh. This is Triforce 1. We're going to play it. 3, 2, 1, play.
This is the Triforce mailbag.
Nice.
This is where you're gonna get all your laughs. Pyrian sips in Lewis too. Let's hope they don't talk about poo.
Yeah.
This is the Triforce mailbag.
Do you know this song is a cover song, I think. It's that one. Do on the 45 and it's that song.
Maybe.
Good.
I don't think it is, but I get where you're coming from. There's definitely familiarity there.
What are the lyrics to that song anyway? Because I always just hear it as Supreme Voodoo Fashion on the 45, but I don't know what it is actually is.
I don't even know what song you're talking about.
Brimful of Asher on the
Brimful of Asher. Yeah.
So it's not Supreme Voodoo Fashion.
Of Asher, a song by a band called Corner Shop.
Oh, right.
I remember when this came out, actually, and it was very popular, but it got
back
very,
on the
very,
45.
Very
do.
I think a 45 was meant to be like a.
Everyone needs a good, strong pillow. Everybody needs a good, strong pillow. Everybody needs a good. What is it?
Everybody needs a bosom for a pillow.
What?
Everyone needs a good, strong pillow. I like that, though.
Wait, did you
one.
Actually think it was everybody needs a good, strong pillow?
Listen, I've heard the song like twice in my life, okay? I haven't dedicated...
What a sweet, innocent boy.
It is lovely. Also, like, I do like the idea that songs are secretly selling you things that are advice to... Always invest in a very solid, good bed frame.
Everybody needs a really absorbent towel. Like, you know, that kind of household detail.
I like that. Yeah, should try and encourage more of that. Like,
there's loads of songs. There's loads of songs where like the lyrics could be anything, right?
Yeah.
Like Loser by Beck. I used to, I still do think, because I don't actually know what it is, but it sounds like, so I open the door, I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me?
No, like, it's like soy una brevador or something
I know,
like that.
But
it's
it sounds
Spanish,
like, so I open the door, so that's why.
I used to know all the lyrics to that. Oh,
in
my
mind, that's what I sing, but I know it's not right, but like...
Yeah.
I don't care enough to correct myself either.
It's
okay.
This one's from Alex. It's the name of this file is voice 251218_190332.m4a.
AI, by the way. Not made by AI.
No, none of these are AI.
Yeah.
This is kind of an opera style hymnal song, apparently. It's 53 seconds, but it's worth it. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, play.
Does it have lots of like gothic legends?
Just listen.
No.
It's the Triforce mailbag here once again. It's the Triforce mailbag here once again. It's the Triforce mailbag here once again.
Nice voice.
It's the Triforce mailbag here once again.
Very quiet, very beautiful.
Really nice.
Wow, that is... there's a lot to unpack here.
We're boshing through them. All right, we're not going to do
whiplash.
A paragraph review of every single one because we've still got a few more to do. People sent these in. I'll be damned if someone's taken the time to write a song and I'm not going to fucking put it on the podcast. So I'm going to keep playing. And this is from Stoopy. It's called tinypeckers.m4a.
Nice.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play.
Welcome to the Triforce where we all hate tiny peckers. We got Lewis,
Tiny peckers. Okay.
Tiny,
crap.
Tiny so peckers. That's yeah. such a funny tiny word, pecker. Isn't it? Ouch, yo, my pecker
some,
hurts.
Yo,
my,
got some tiny peckers.
My pecker's killing me today.
Dang, I think I caught my pecker on the chicken. Damn. This is from an anonymous sender written by someone with a gaping vagina. Brackets right. me. That's who it's
gaping
been sent
vagina.
By.
That's who it was.
Gaping we vagina. Got this one is the most hanging. Simply named. It's just called mailbag.m4a. Three, okay. two, one, a play.
Very good. Very, very politically correct as well.
Yes.
So nice. I like that. I like how there was like a little bit of a sort of like, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but I like doing it. That's good. That's the yeah. kind of message that we want to send to people.
Very funny. I'm getting like musical theater. What are those two female comedians who used to do all those songs called? Oh my God, I can't remember. But that's the vibe I'm
Cole
getting.
Cole Porter.
Love it.
It's like a modern day Cole Porter, you know?
Like a modern day Cole Porter. There yeah. you go.
Cole Porter.
Yeah. That's impressive. This is from Nim. This is another gaping vagina haver. This is a new metal mailbag submission.
Oh, I can't okay? wait. I can't
I,
wait.
I knew you couldn't. All right, here we go. Three, yeah. two, one, play.
Oh, yes. This is more like it.
Yo, ladies tune in because the real dead stiff. Now the trap force raids and Lewis peace likes the sips. Lewis starts talking and his brain hits slack. Slack feeds pigeons, but the birds call him dad. With attention, like his artist farmers with the male attention. Still a lab myth, they have a tiny ass penis, but the gals stay locked cause the show is a mess. So you came and died. He never knew you had. So here we are again with the female back.
Woo! With the laughing too. Fuck, that's amazing. That's like the best one. That's so
yeah,
good.
That's the best one. Well
yeah,
done.
Yeah,
man.
No, it was so good. Like it had so much energy, you know? Like it was great. I like the acoustic stuff, but I do tend towards sort of like heavier music, you know.
Indeed.
Like I like something with like a little bit of like grit. I like something like right. with a bit of hardness to it, you know?
Well, there so you go. Nim,
is there a death metal?
Sadly,
mailbag?
there's no death metal okay. ones. But now Whoa. That you've said that, I'm hoping they were yeah, yeah. like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I want it to go the other way. I like the banjo, Tiny Tim.
I hate that shit.
La, 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 la.
So this is another lady. Triforcejingle.mp3. This is from McGorf Knuckle.
Okay.
McGorf Knuckle. 3, 2, 1, play.
Oh, here we go. Listen to this.
Lewis, Tyrion, and Zips all sitting down. Touching fucking tips. Lewis the vegan, Tyrion a dad. Sips, also a motherfucking dad. I just want to say thank
yes!
you for this amazing mailbag. And I just need to let you know that I have a gaping vagina.
Nice.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for the info. Woo! And what a great sample, by the way. It sounds really
like
good. Nice
that
beat.
That sample is... plays in your head. That's like your music, Sips. That's when you walk into the shops.
Motherfucking dad. And guess what?
That's what plays.
He's also
yeah.
a motherfucking dad. I love yeah. that so much. That's great. Another good one. A really good. They're all good. Don't get me wrong.
They're all good. That's Triforce Jingle.
But the thing, you're
MP3.
Always
going
to get like an extra nod from me if you play.
Tiny Pecker.
If it's got like some hip hop or like some something heavy in it. Like I like that.
We got four more, okay? Because I really love these, and none of these are AI,
yeah.
and they've got a real personal touch.
Holy God, the ladies showed up, though. That
I know,
is insane.
I know. But I mean, one of the ladies, the lyrics was that essentially, she's too busy answering emails and cleaning
yeah,
to do this,
to do
and
this.
That women have better things to do
and
than
she's
men.
She's wasted
well,
all of her time.
Turns out you're wrong. A lot of the women out there have nothing better to do than put together raps and orchestral numbers. So listen. I have not pre-listened to the next two.
Right.
Okay. Because they just came in. Actually, they came in October. But what I mean is I just found them. this is from Hey Nos Josh. This is TF song maximumcomedy.flack.
Okay.
Your favorite format, Lewis. All right.
Dot flack. Well, this one is, I noticed, about 10 times the.
It's a minifile size. It's, like it's 5 megs. So this is a big one.
A stand up comedy.
We're
going to
play
this.
Here we go. Yeah. 3, 2, 1, play.
While you're doing some shit, listen closely. While the world goes to shit, listen closely. While you're taking a shit,
yes.
Listen, Triforce. You're really just fucking unloading in there, aren't you? Jesus Christ.
Like, oh, this is the best one now.
You guys talking about some shit, Lewis too, I guess. Embrace your tiny penis, a gaping boost, whichever you prefer. Hear about the snail king. Hear about the pigeon lord. Hear about the out-of-pocket things Lewis said in a chair.
Well, yeah, wait a bit, Pixies at the end. I like that.
Welcome to the Triforce.
Oh, I'm getting like
I'm getting sort of emo scene.
Yeah, I'm getting like Saves the Day. I'm also getting like you can hear the quality of that .flac file.
Oh,
it's very
crisp. That's what I enjoyed the most. Isn't it? The audio, crisp quality. The
audio
lossless
file has
audio
spoken.
Quality.
Yeah.
Listen, you could tell that the guy's a connoisseur because just everything was recorded so well.
So every instrument in that was the bass.
Nice.
Yeah, well, you can tell the guy's got some overly expensive audio equipment.
Knows what he's doing. Thank you.
Whereas everyone else is just bashing this out on their phone, I
guess. Well, all right. Let's just because it's flack, let's not suck the guy's dick, all right? The other songs were great too. I know you love flack.
No, I love the man. If you add a fart sound effect somewhere in your song, it's getting a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, like, why didn't the Beatles do that?
Yeah, they should have. Yeah. Love me do. You know. But it would have made the song so much better. Like, it would have been incredible.
100%.
So, these next two, I've lost the email they came with, but I still want to play the song. This is mailbagjinglesubmission.wav.
Perfect.
Okay, so we're going to play this one in 3, 2, 1, play.
Derek, what do you want for dinner, love? I've just put the cat. Oh my God, Derek! Derek, the mailbag here! They're coming in through the window! Get the children! Get the children now! The mailbag here!
So I remember now
it's
the email
a perfectly
said,
cut scream at the end as well. Yeah.
It said something about a home invasion jingle was what that was. I apologize for losing the email.
Every podcast needs a home invasion jingle, I think.
It's honestly, like a 911 call.
It really is. But thank you so much. I'm so sorry if I've lost the email. It's in the mix of all the emails I've got.
We don't know who did
so
that.
Somebody sent that in. They said it was home invasion jingle. That's all I remember. Thank you so much.
It's just a...
All right. That was mailbagjinglesubmission.wav. This one is Triforce Podcast Intro Theme Tune.m4a. Playing
Good
in
luck,
3,
Tom, putting
2,
this together.
1, play.
It's Wednesday, my dudes, at last. Time to mostly out their ass. Their best years have all but passed.
Wait, what?
You're listening to the Triforce Podcast.
He's got a point.
You thought we could slip a little diss in there and we wouldn't notice it.
The best years have passed.
I feel that every day, guys, every day.
You feel like your best years are behind you now?
Oh, God, yeah. Look in the mirror. I'm like, God, who's this man looking back at me, all gray-haired and, you know, sagging.
Sagging.
Sagging old man.
The earth is trying to take you back. trying to melt you into a puddle.
Well, yeah, and now we've entered the point in the podcast where I'm going to read some emails. That was half an hour of banging tunes. I tell you what, though,
those were great jingles. A lot of them were good. The new metal and the hip hop one for me, they stood out a little bit more. I liked those a lot, but the other ones were all very good as well. I don't think I disliked any of those jingles.
I'm going to say Cindy's was my favorite, especially because I have Road Trip in mind. She's like an American mom who's looking after her kid and thought, oh, geez, I'll listen to his podcast. I'm going to hate it. And she was like, actually, these British guys are so cute and funny. I like
and
it.
That one Canadian and she,
I'm
going to
write
too.
Him a goddamn jingle.
Two British guys and one Canadian guy.
Yeah, sorry. That's right.
I feel like
you're ornery. You're ornery.
I've been here a long ass time. So.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah,
it's true.
You still got the passport.
I've integrated.
This is from Matt. Love the pod, long-time listener. My girlfriend and I have a domestic problem. Right. We think you and the boys can adjudicate on. We're the boys. We've both agreed to stand by your ruling in perpetuity throughout the universe.
Right.
I've been with my girlfriend for over 5 years. Okay. I've lived with her in her house for the last four. We generally have a good separation of household chores. I cook and clean the kitchen. She cleans and does the laundry. We've been gliding along in relative bliss until this Christmas, a gift from her best friend has thrown the house into turmoil.
Right.
The gift in question, a bento lunchbox set. Now, I'm going to show you lads a picture. I'll describe it to the listeners.
God, it doesn't take much.
It doesn't, but here's the picture.
If I got a bento lunchbox set for Christmas, that shit would be at the charity shop immediately. Before it caused any problems.
Well, look at it. So first of all, I will say this, Sips. You don't leave the house. Like me, this kind of lunchbox has very little utility for us.
Yeah.
Because I will just use a plate or a bowl from downstairs. Yeah. I don't need this.
No.
But if I was going into an office, having my nice little bento stackable lunchbox might be quite sweet. So here's the question.
Okay.
I am a reasonable man. I would understand a simple Tupperware to take a salad or last night's leftovers in. I can forgive a small tub for some fresh grapes or melon, but four individual tubs with nooks and crannies, silicone vents and toggles, and as a household without a dishwasher or the space to get one, this washing up, the washing up that this generates is intolerable.
Man.
It is too much. Too much, I say.
Just fill up your bathtub with Milton and dunk it in there for like an hour. You're good to go.
Preparing all the food and laying it out.
How does Milton feel about that?
Is aesthetically pleasing. Yes, it helps keep one more thing neat and tidy in this cluttered and hectic world, but does an apple need to be pre-sliced and boxed up to take to work? Does a Satsuma really need to be kept inside a box? Do the matching fork and spoon need to be secured in their own compartment?
I will always betray myself through laziness. I will just eat an apple because I'm too lazy to slice it, but I like eating a slice. Somebody slices me an apple, I'm pretty happy. Like I'm feeling pretty good. I'm like, damn, this is how the other half eat apples, you know, not like some savage. You're just shoving a whole round apple into your mouth and taking a big bite and your dentures are falling out or like they're exploding in your mouth because of the impact.
Well, wait. Before we go waxing lyrical about apples, we got to make a decision here, lads, and this matters, all right? We're the jury.
We're doing a room 101 on the bento lunchbox.
No, we're not. I like this. You hate the bento lunchbox.
Okay, well, okay.
The argument is he has to wash it up.
So listen, there's multiple options here. One, you could just suck it up and wait, okay? And they may get bored of even like filling it up, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And actually using it because it's such a tedious thing to make in the first place. Option two is that you get something really equally tedious for them to do as part of their cleaning. Like
that's remarkably petty of you.
That
you
start spilling. I got another petty one as well. Accidentally run it over with your car. So it can't be used anymore. Just say, shit, it fell out of the car when I was backing up and then I ran over it by accident.
Yeah.
Can I be honest? Just clean the fucking box.
Yeah, just clean fucking the box, clean honestly.
If you love your partner, if you love your girlfriend, as you say, just clean the fucking box.
If my wife came home with a bento box,
it's a nice thing to do.
I'd probably sigh quite a bit, but a lot of sighing, actually.
It's not going to take that much longer.
Amount. Every
Here's
time,
what I would
every
do.
Time I filled up the sink to like wash it, I'd be like...
Just wash it first. You get the sink, get all the suds in there, give it a good rubble around, and then just give it a nice wash. Because think about this. Every time she has that lovely, clean, all-in-one stackable bento lunchbox for lunch. She's thinking, I know he loves me because he takes the extra time to clean my lunchbox.
Another funny thing you could do is in every compartment in the box, just put porridge. So it's like the same thing, like all the way through. And then
we need to make a decision. Is he cleaning the lunchbox or not? Is he cleaning it or not?
Oh, yeah, he's got to clean it, realistically.
No, I don't think so. Look, well, I think you got to...
That's one vote for, one against. Lewis, I'm sorry. I'm voting yes, he should clean it. The council has spoken. That's 2-1. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to clean the lunchbox.
You're going to see this guy on 24 Hours in Police Custody next week.
He's disassembled her and put her in a bento lunchbox.
Yeah, yeah. All of her parts, all of her body parts are in there. I could not fucking clean it one more time. No comment. No comment. He's just going crazy in the booth.
She filled it up with porridge in every compartment.
Yeah, that she
it was
ran
stuck
it over.
To the side.
I ran it over with my car. It was the.
I ran it over my car and put the bits in a bento lunchbox. I was like, clean that.
Yeah, I would just clean it begrudgingly. And then in a couple of years' time, when something goes wrong, you can just say, "Well, I would have had much more time to do it if I wasn't cleaning your stupid fucking lunchbox all the time." You know, like you could throw it back in her face at some point.
For people who haven't seen this picture, the lunchbox is like a totem pole. Do you know what I mean? It's over the top. It's not like a plastic box. It's
wait, you're
10
having
boxes.
To get with totem poles now.
Who made this anyway? Let's carry on.
Okay, this is from Thomas. I was recently catching up with last few months of podcasts and noticed a few references to the Cheeky Girls and their potential gig schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, we should get them on.
They are actively touring still, by the way.
Indeed. Whilst I was studying at Salford University
still very
last
cheeky
year,
too.
There was a welcome weekend showcase.
It's still as cheeky as ever.
From the performance department. Been, yeah. The students were invited to play some music on a small temporary stage on campus for about 15 minutes each in return for a £20 Amazon voucher.
Right.
With myself playing a bit of piano and having a friend who could sing, we practiced a couple of songs, headed to campus, keyboard under arm, to find out that the star headliners for the day were none other than the Cheeky Girls.
Yeah, absolutely.
They played for about 30 minutes, basically playing longer versions of their two hits,
right,
then stood around for pictures with students. Nice. I'm presuming they were paid more than the £20 Amazon voucher each, but didn't like to ask.
Right.
This is unfortunately my biggest claim to fame, having played on the same stage as the Cheeky Girls, other than seeing Freddie Flintoff from the other side of a field on a school trip. He's a cricket player.
Yes,
I know. Do you have any similar stories of tenuous links to minor celebrities that you've bumped into in public?
Well, I mean, I've done a couple of events with like other YouTubers and stuff, if that counts. But not none that I'm like, you know, I was like, whoa, I can't believe I met this person or that person or whatever. But I guess they're kind of like minor celebrities. But otherwise, no. I don't have any celebrity stories. I don't think I've met any. I think Lewis has met quite a few, actually. You've had quite a few of them visit the office.
I saw Christopher Eccleston outside the pub in Bristol where we all drink.
Really?
One time. I saw David Miliband on a train. we have had some small interaction with celebrities over the years.
Yeah.
Like old Jonathan Ross.
Yeah,
not that
Bill
one.
Bailey, Jonathan Ross, Warwick Davis.
Bill Bailey.
They've all
wait, what do you mean Warwick not Davis. That one?
There's the Ice Agent, Jonathan Ross. But there was
oh,
one
shit.
Day
yeah,
when,
that's right.
that one day that's when right. Jonathan Ross opened up his Twitter and he was like, fuck.
Oh God. I didn't shoot anybody. I've got to work on my Jonathan Ross.
Well, I don't think you need to. He's not going to be the new Prime
what
Minister.
What is it that he says? How does he speak? Is it what like that?
Jonathan Ross. Yeah, he can't pronounce his R's properly, so they come out
please,
as W's.
Get out of the car, I'll shoot you in the face.
Luis Wadger.
Oh, no, he wouldn't be releasing Wadger.
I just couldn't think of anything else with more R's in it. But yeah, that's basically the whole joke around Jonathan Ross.
We'll send you to prison in El Salvador. That's
hey, you sounded like Tory boy there.
Here's this one. I've been trying to convince my boyfriend, who lives in Argentina, to get into you guys, meaning to listen to the Triforce.
Right.
But as an Argentine, he has some reservations about British people.
Right.
So it's been hard, but I've been making some progress. Every once in a while, I'll show him a Yogscast classic or a Triforce clip, and he gives me the most disinterested response. Today I had the brilliant idea of which video would convince him. I put on the classic Christmas song, A Carrot for a Cock.
Right.
As he screen shared the video with me, I heard absolute dead silence from his microphone the entire video. The complete lack of any sniggers or laughs. And when the video ended, I saw him dislike the video, close the stream and say, well, that was something. I thought this was very funny. I thought I'd share. I swear he's not xenophobic, just very nationalistic. Listen,
no,
your Argentine boyfriend needs to understand that they invaded sovereign British territory and got their fucking ass handed to them.
Well,
they
we're never
going to
win them.
Take
over
that,
now.
Argentina. Wow. Don't invade people. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't fucking do it. So I say that as a country with a long history of invading people. They won't like you for it. In fact, it's a terrible thing to do. So fuck you.
The thing is, I think some of take this that. Stuff just needs like some more context or whether. Or whatever, because like there's been plenty of times where somebody's been like, oh, this is fucking hilarious, you gotta watch this, and I've watched something like stone face, not laughing, wasn't in the mood, just didn't get it. You know, sometimes you have to like discover these things like on your own, and at the time you discover them, you're in the mood to be into like stuff or whatever, you know, you'll have like a different mentality about it. It's like it's hard to convince somebody to like something. You have to let them just kind of
have Argentina got anything own. That we can swap for it. Like, I'm just thinking, is there anything like, is there a like a bento box solution to this? Can we like take a bit of their stuff?
I wonder if there's like a really famous like current Argentinian comedian. There must be, right? Every country's got to have like in their culture, in their language, a comedian, right? But like, if you listened to them, you would be like, what the fuck? Like, it wouldn't work. You'd have to, you have to be like in that culture to get it, probably, right?
Yeah.
The same probably, reason why, like, say, for example, Americans wouldn't necessarily find all British comedians funny, or even most of them. Some stand out, obviously, but some of them will just be talking about stuff you've never heard about before.
Yeah.
And then it loses a lot of the context
and
the humor.
Having had a few Argentinian friends over the years, the whole thing with Las Malvinas, which is what they call the Falkland Islands, it's a massive distraction that the junta governments that they've had in the past have gone to fire the people up. Like a lot of, you know, strongman dickhead leaders do, is like, huh, with the problem is these dickheads over here, and like invasion and war, because that makes them feel powerful, and it takes all of the people's frustrations and just redirects them away from the people that are responsible towards
the
country. Yeah, you just
invade someone.
Exactly.
Because they people love a war.
They love a bloody war.
So anyway, is Javier Milei, is he the, because he's in charge.
He's the chainsaw guy, yeah.
Is he one that we like or not?
No, he's very bad. He's a very bad guy.
Okay. It's very hard to know, honestly, every time, isn't it?
It's hard to keep up with all the fascists, but it's true. All right, so this is a long-time listener. From a Malaysian lad, okay? From ages 14 to 17, I fought Muay Thai? The fighting on the Malaysian-Thai border in hidden jungle warehouses because gambling on fights is illegal in Malaysia. Now, that is a fucking banger of an opening sentence.
Yeah.
What?
To a Triforce. This lad fought in hidden jungle warehouses. He did Muay Thai. Anyway, he fought. Phones were confiscated. Cameras banned, and if you weren't a fighter or a part of a fight crew, you couldn't keep your device. The Thai syndicate blokes openly carried AKs and shotguns, standing next to screaming men placing bets. The fights were much more brutal because lots of money was invested. One night, my fight was delayed for over an hour. No internet that deep in the jungle, so I put my earphones in and listened to a downloaded Triforce episode in the locker room after wrapping my hands. Time flew by, and suddenly I'm nearing the end of the episode. My uncle, who was also my coach, suddenly slapped my back so hard, one earphone flew out and he shouted, "Get up now, you're on." I stood up, body completely cold, slightly dazed, and having absentmindedly smoked nearly a pack of cigarettes. I was kind of overconfident because I thought my opponent would be another Malay lad like me and of a similar build. Then they announced my opponent, a late replacement, a foot taller than me, an African dude named Butu.
Fuck.
I completely lost it. Because
what
I've been listening to episode 32 of the Triforce podcast, Putu, and You Too. He thought I was mocking him. I genuinely couldn't stop giggling. So he's fighting a guy called Butu, and he'd just been listening to the episode Putu. Okay,
right.
So he couldn't stop laughing about that. I'd beaten taller guys like him plenty of times before with my specialty, leg kicks. I couldn't use my elbows because of his reach advantage.
Good
but once
specialty.
He start hammering their legs, it's a great specialty. Once you start hammering their legs, that disappears. I was drilling his thighs with my kicks over and over. And two rounds in, his legs were visibly wrecked. Red, swollen, starts getting higher and stiffer every exchange. He was almost done and I knew it, but I had to play it safe because of his reach. But I'd already won. Between rounds, I kept laughing at him, not trying to be disrespectful. I just generally found his name was Butu, and it made me very funny. It made me laugh, which made him even angrier, which made it even funnier. So he keeps on kicking him. Pow, poo, pow, pow. He's kicking him. And then he got overconfident. His eyes glaze over, not from fear, not from panic. He's, as he puts it, pure Triforce brain. I was looking at his leg, thinking about the podcast, thinking about how stupid this all was when he hit me with a clean hook. Lights out. The next thing I remember is waking up on a concrete floor with a towel rolled under my head in a warehouse guarded by men with assault rifles, with my uncle asking me if I knew where I was. That was one of only five losses I ever took in my professional career.
Jesus Christ.
One of only three times I've been knocked out. A permanent stain on my record. And he blames us for it. Well, Aiden, I'm very sorry.
Man, we got our own little Jerry here.
Oh, great. Sorry, Simon's just come into the podcast.
I wondered what that noise was.
Lewis was like, was dying.
I was rubbing his back and I went, ooh. Nice. Because I didn't want to like jump scare him.
Right.
So I wanted to make like a soft noise and a gentle gesture.
Right.
But I just went, motherfucker! I didn't want to just, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry for swearing on your pod. Right. By the
way, it's okay. We'll edit it out.
Yeah, I've got to go record Prominence anyway.
I enjoy.
Okay,
so this is probably going to go out before the first episode of Prominence does.
Yeah, but it's nice.
You've got lovely warm ears, Lewis.
Thank you.
It's very lovely and warm. Lovely and warm.
Oh, it's lovely little pop in from my best friend there. Oh, it's good, isn't it?
Good lad. I enjoyed that email from the fighter. That's that is funny. It, and funny that we somehow managed to wreck his mojo as well our bad podcast.
Is he blaming the fact that he got distracted by the podcast? And
it sounded like he was. Yeah. It sounded like he was kind of blaming us a little bit.
And then
he blamed us.
Him finding it funny made the guy furious.
Yes.
With rage.
Yeah. And he was distracted and laughing too much to win the fight was the essence.
Oh, yeah.
So apologies. If you've ever been in a fight and you've lost because of us, go ahead and email in. We'd love
to
hear
more.
Well,
that's the classic thing they say, you know,
saying that is. You know what they say.
Heals all wounds. Laughter. Good laugh. Bit of laughter heals. Was in this case, it was the opposite.
Indeed.
Laughter got you knocked out and could have even killed you. So, God.
There you go.
God bless
said.
You for still
well
being
said.
Able to have the mental fortitude to compose and send us that email.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is probably long after the fact. I don't think he started composing it like the moment he woke up on the concrete floor, you know?
We live in an age where if someone had posted that story on Reddit, no one would possibly believe that it was real and they would assume it was AI. But the little details, like the name of Triforce episode 32 and the Butu, it makes it believable.
Yes.
Okay. And I believe that.
You're very
story.
Suspicious of the emails that we get.
I'm just suspicious of all things on the internet now. Because, you know.
Fair.
But thank God for you guys writing in with your real, honest,
real non-AI songs
and stories.
Real non-AI songs and stories as well.
Long may that continue. Let us do
this
that.
This is from Stephen. This is about missing out on connections with other people that you might want to have sex with.
Right.
So not seeing the signs, missing out on the obvious invitations.
We get lots of these.
Yeah, well, we spoke about it and people have emailed in and now we've started to catch up with the emails a little bit. This is one of those. I was at a house party with a bunch of friends at a girl's house that I really liked. We were having a BBQ, that means barbecue.
Thank you.
Wasn't starting.
Thanks for
so
clarifying
So I was going back
that.
And forth. I just wanted to clear that up. Going back and forth from my house getting lighter fluid. She was really thankful and was giving me lots of drinks. To cut to the end of the story, I ended up locked out of my house and asked if I could sleep at hers. While I was sat on the couch downstairs, she asked if I wanted to come upstairs with her. The words that came out of my mouth were, "Nah, you're okay. The couch is pretty comfy. Good night." I think about this from time to time, and it makes me want to smash my head against a wall due to my fucking stupidity. Thanks, Stephen. Kiss.
Yeah.
Stephen, it happens.
It happens.
Sometimes you're in an innocent, you've had a lovely day, you're not thinking of sex all the time. You're thinking, what a lovely offer. But no, please, I'm fine on the sofa. Not realizing that actually she wants you to come upstairs and have sex with her.
Yeah.
It happens.
What
Don't
if
worry
she,
too
okay,
much about
but what
it.
If she, what if she didn't even want you to go upstairs and have sex with her? What if she was going to take you upstairs and show you like her vast collection of like toenail clippings or something? You might have dodged a bullet
right.
there.
or Pokemon cards.
Or Pokemon cards, yeah. Look,
women, just be more obvious, is all I'm saying to that.
How
one.
Could you know? She be more obvious?
Yeah, she was being pretty obvious, but I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about it. Sometimes the world just has a way. You know, you might find that actually it's worked out better that didn't happen. So don't
Social
beat yourself.
Social interactions are difficult for all of us.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that this is a good thing that this didn't happen.
Well, it's not.
You're just trying to make Stephen feel better.
Yeah, of course I am. Why not? That's my good deed for today. I don't have to do any more deeds now. So
now we can just do regular deeds.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Deeds is clogging off. I'm done.
This is about Costa Coffee and cafe chains.
Yes.
So that is four words that start with C, and one of them was not a hard
Costa
C.
Coffee cafe chains. Yeah.
You talked in the mailbag about Greg's, Costa, etc. I worked at Cafe Nero for 2 years. Right. Thought I'd give you some insider info.
A classic cafe.
Cafe Nero, indeed, in my experience, were wank. My immediate team were great, but area and regional management is dog shit. Good. Our store was 35 to 40 degrees at all times.
Jeez, oh, that's God. Hot.
And they would not pay for air conditioning to be fixed. On top of that, the old customers, cunts, forcibly unstopping and closing the door because of the draft. So they'd prop the door open to try to let some air in, and the customers would just close it. My manager had heat-sensitive epilepsy. Management didn't give a shit. The heat knackered the fridge. They didn't give a shit until I found a sandwich with mold on it, despite being well in date. They put a thermometer in the fridge. It was 18 degrees. That's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
This is in centigrade, by the way. It was Celsius, sorry. So if you don't know what a Celsius is, 18 is much too hot for a fridge. That's short sweater.
Yeah, 18 is like, I think, I feel like 18 is like maybe like 60 Fahrenheit or something like that. I can tell you right now, actually. What's 18 degrees in Fahrenheit? It is 64.4 Fahrenheit.
Well done. There you go. You were very close, Sips. Well done.
I'm so good at computers.
You are so
too.
Smart. Well done, mate.
I typed that so fast.
Lots of other stories. Making us work alone constantly despite multiple violent incidents in and around the store. Giving us zero budget for maintenance, mandatory unpaid training, etc. From what I hear from employees, Starbucks and Costa are as bad, if not worse. TLDR, the people actually doing the work are lovely. The management were, in my experience, a shower of cunts bereft of all moral integrity.
I feel like a lot of big companies are like that. The people that you directly work with are all fine. They're all people who just need to work to live. They need to turn up. They need to make some money. Most of them have a decent enough attitude about it or whatever. And then middle management are a fucking nightmare. But that's every company ever across the world. Middle management are the worst. They don't do anything.
The worst.
They brand themselves as experienced people managers. They never are. They're fucking horrible with people. They're horrible at managing anything. They wouldn't be able to fix anything in an emergency or do anything. They're fucking useless. And that's true of like every
company. The problem is that managers seem to think they're above their staff.
Yeah.
Whereas in fact, they should be assistants.
They should be supporting them. Yeah.
A manager should be a shared assistant amongst all of the team. Yeah.
There you go.
But no one thinks, but I think it's just because the way that the things are set up, if they're, you know, if they're paid more or if they're above them in the hierarchy, it informs people's attitudes towards them. And it's the wrong way to go about thinking of managerial attitudes, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So apparently a PS Costa is indeed owned by Coca-Cola, and they apparently make a much higher profit off those prepackaged iced coffees and the Costa machines you see in supermarkets than they do from the stores.
Yeah, of course.
So apparently they're closing the less busy stores with a view to eventually just have it as a sub-brand of packaged drinks, no stores at all. I say bring that on.
Yeah, it's basically happened in Jersey. We used to have about four or five Costas, and they were fine. And they've all closed down except for one now. But those machines are in all the gas stations. They're in all the supermarkets. And if you ever see them open one up, they're hilarious. They're not at all like high tech or anything. It's like a fucking Windows XP computer with like a bunch of tubes and shit. Like it probably costs them nothing to make those. And they're right. They probably make a fucking shit ton of money because they're still charging you like £3 for a cappuccino. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it costs them nothing. They just have to, all they got to do is fill a bag with some like ground up coffee and then fill up a canister with powdered milk and away you go. That's it. It costs them nothing.
There you go. This is from Cheers, Lads, Have a Good Christmas. So this was before Christmas. This was just December. Had a long drive today on a whim. Went back to Triforce number one, Sell Your Kids, as a bit of nostalgia. There were many great bits, but one that stood out was when Lewis rambled on, sorry, Lulu, about how his ideal future was one in which there was a bunch of content being released where you never had to watch or play something that wasn't new, and that you thought that idea was beautiful. I'm here to personally say, fuck you, Lewis, because the monkey's paw curled one of its fingers, and now we have TikToks and Reels and Shorts and all this other bullshit that I think is objectively not beautiful. Your response?
We do live in a world of infinite content now, yeah, where I think you could probably watch something different every second of the day until the end of your natural life. But a lot of it is just absolute dog shit. But I think that is...
have you not been listening to Orbology then?
You can watch a video of a dog taking a shit as well if you want to. You can watch
Orbology is this woman called Christina Mendez. It's videos where she looks directly at the camera. She's very beautiful. And she just gives you positive affirmations and said things like, you're doing great. But then she also, it'll just cut back to her just going, yeah, and doing like a weird dance and saying, me look. She's got all these like verbal sort of things that she adds in. It's hyper edited. And she just says, the orb has given you the power. It's like, there's just hours and hours and hours of these videos that she pumps out. But it's very distracting. It's really strange. Look into it. Orbology.
Orbology.
They call her the mind control Latina.
Orbology.
She's beautiful and she's in your brain. Yeah, right. Orbology. This is about the great Wimpy trade. We were talking about Wimpy the other week. We mentioned how there weren't many Wimpies left in the UK. And I looked up the headquarters and it turns out it's in Johannesburg, South Africa. Someone from the UK with family in South Africa, I can sort of explain. For whatever reason, Wimpy began to open locations in South Africa. They're often attached to a chain of petrol stations in the country and can be found in both massive shopping malls and small crossover towns along with major highways and cross-country roads. They focus on all-day breakfast but have adopted to the country with regional offerings, becoming one of the largest chains in South Africa.
Wow.
In a sort of reverse situation, Nando's, despite offering Portuguese food, is originally from South Africa. After opening UK-based locations, they expanded massively with a headquarters in London and are now considered a British staple restaurant. My question is, do you think Wimpy was a worthy trade for Nando's?
Wow.
I absolutely love Nando's, so give us Nando's, you can fucking keep Wimpy.
Yeah, but Wimpy... You can't just, you can't, that's it. That's all I got. It's Wimpy.
That was it. It's nice to see Woolworths still going in Australia or whatever.
Wait, it
maybe
is?
A different store.
Woolworths
or whatever.
Is still gone?
It's nice to see something that used to be big in the UK and was a staple of our country live on in another way somewhere else.
HMV,
in a different guise.
Blockbuster, GameStop. All the greats are coming back. Well, maybe not Blockbuster. HMV is kind of coming back, though. They got a couple
fucking
stores.
Shouldn't. Who's buying CDs?
It's not. It's vinyl. Well, it's all vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they make all their money.
Well, there's a nice independent record shop, vinyl shop in Twickenham. And I don't want an HMV to come in and just be a big company and fuck them
I don't
over,
know if HMV will ever be that big shop. Company again. But
good.
There are a handful of them. And there's a big HMV on... is it Oxford Street, I think, in London? It's like a four-floor HMV. I think it's like one of the oldest HMVs, and they just managed to keep it going somehow. But yeah, lots of vinyl. But apparently people are buying a lot of vinyl now. So.
Yeah, no, very popular with the kids because it's got that retro thing. Yeah. It's nice. I mean, if you think about the difference between owning a record with the beautiful, you know, the sleeve and the double fold with the artwork and the lyrics and everything like that, the record taking that out, putting it on the turntable, the sound, the sort of mechanical nature of it, it's very appealing.
I mean, it's mad to think that even when we were growing up, vinyl was not in massive circulation.
Yeah, it was old then.
Yeah,
so,
you could only get it secondhand.
No, that's not true. I have multiple records I bought as singles and albums that came out on vinyl new.
What, in the 80s and the 90s?
In the 90s, yes, absolutely.
That's pretty rare, I think, though.
I have, when I was a much younger man and I was into like Green Day and Oasis and all the stuff that was coming out, Blur. We got a bunch of vinyl.
I don't remember them ever printing vinyl for any of that. But you might you Well, I mean, if you got it, then you are
right.
I got it. I don't know if it was in as massive circulation as it would have been.
No, it definitely prior. Wasn't as big.
It would have still
been
very
niche. But it was still
niche.
Released. Tape, yeah. CD, and vinyl. It would come out on all three.
Crazy.
Because it was no streaming service. But yeah, you
so
could get it.
The Australian Woolworths group is that completely unrelated to Woolworths that was in the UK.
Right.
But also, apparently, even that was an American store originally, and it's now German or whatever. So fuck knows what's going on. It's all nonsense, isn't it?
God, remember BHS?
Yeah, British Home Stores.
BHS, you used to go in there. There used to be a cafe in there and stuff. You got fish and chips for your lunch and then
what
buy
was that
some
one
crappy
that,
clothes.
That had a something and C or C and something.
CNA.
CNA, that's right. Yeah, CNA.
I think they're still going in some form. I'm pretty sure they're still going in Europe. Yeah, look, 1,250 stores in Europe. 330 in Brazil.
Claire's Accessories went into administration. I don't know if you heard. It's another classic.
Yeah,
High Street
I heard about
classic.
That.
Yeah. There's one over there.
Oh, so CNA was never a British company. It was always, it was German. Yeah. I didn't know this. Oh. I thought CNA was...
It probably stands for like something German then, and that's why it makes sense, you know. What else is going? H&M, are they... What's that stand for?
H&M
is
still
Swedish,
going.
Swedish.
Hennes
and Moritz.
Is that what it stands for?
New look. Yeah. Dorothy Perkins is gone. You remember Dorothy Perkins? That went.
Dorothy.
United Colors of Benetton. You remember that?
At least we got Greggs. Oh,
Greggs
must be still British, Greggs, right?
I'm sure Greggs still going strong on the mainland, but not here. They opened a bunch of Greggs and they immediately closed them. They were open for like a week.
You know, you remember Laura Ashley?
No.
Yes.
So Laura Ashley not was personally, like, it was for mums, basically. It was like nice, gently patterned.
Oh, like Kath Kidson sort of stuff.
It's like that. Yeah. So Laura Ashley did a whole bunch of things, like clothes, and they also did like curtains and shit like
doilies
that.
Doilies and shit.
When we were in Japan, the department store that we were in, one of the department stores, had a Laura Ashley section.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. I hadn't seen anything to do with Laura Ashley in ages. Because I think it's like the whole... when something's foreign, it has a mystique attached to it.
Yeah.
So it would be the equivalent to a brand in Japan that no one gives a shit about. You relocate it to Oxford High Street. Suddenly people are like, oh, is that Japanese brand? Blah, blah, blah. Like Muji. If you go to Japan, Muji costs pennies. You come over here, you go to a Muji, it costs fucking £10 for a pencil.
Some old brands have come back though. Like SodaStream came back big time.
Oh, baby. We've got a SodaStream.
Yeah,
it's
fucking
awesome.
They were done for like the longest time. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but like they're just, they are so back. Like, it's crazy.
If you're an adult and you're wondering about whether to get a SodaStream, I want you to bear this in mind. If you enjoy tonic water with a drink, vodka tonic, gin and tonic, something like that, you can get tonic water SodaStream. So you will never run out of tonic ever again. You don't have to buy 8 bottles for a summer party. Just fucking churn out.
For
bam,
a Sunday,
bam,
a,
bam. You're making tonic.
A summer candlelight supper.
Give
yeah,
me
you'll
one
never...
minute. Here's your
this
tonic.
This is not an advert for SodaStream.
Get a SodaStream, kids. This week's sponsor.
Personally, I don't
is
have one.
Definitely SodaStream.
I don't
it's
have
SodaStream.
One, so I couldn't recommend. But I just know that this is a thing that people were always like, oh, I always wanted to get a SodaStream when I was a kid, but my parents wouldn't let me. This like in the 80s. And then SodaStream disappeared for decades and now is back.
Yep.
I found it awkward to have the CO2 gas canister subscription, whatever. You have to pay X pound a month to get fucking gas canisters. Like, I didn't like it. It was frustrating.
Yeah.
I found it inconvenient and awkward.
Right.
But I also do like have fizzy stuff. I like fizzy water. I like...
You can make
it. Did you watch that YouTube video where that guy figured out the Coke recipe over like 3 years of his life?
Jesus, no.
It's an incredible video. He basically found out the secret Coke recipe.
Don't watch it.
It's brilliant. He makes
barge
it
down
out
your door
like,
in the middle of the night and kill you.
It's really amazing. It's got a little bit
recipe.
Of like it's got a little bit of vinegar in it. And
this
stuff.
One's
it's crazy.
Called Coke Secret Recipe is the world's biggest psyop. Perfectly replicating Coca-Cola.
That
it took
one.
Me
yeah,
a
yeah,
year.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly,
Lab
like,
Coats. Okay.
Watch that video. It's brilliant. I loved it.
Nice. This is this one's from out. Samuel. My kid has one of those music boxes where you buy toys to go with it. And when you put the toy with the box, it plays music, stories, etc.
Yeah,
based
like a
on
Tony.
The toy.
Yeah.
It's a Tony box. That's exactly what it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
So
my kids have those.
Right. I don't remember these, to be honest with you, but I believe you. One of the toys she has with it is a bee that goes on a journey and meets other insects along the way.
Right.
And they sing songs and teach kids basic stuff about the insect world. Sounds hunky-dory on the surface. It's a UK-made audiobook song list. And all the insects have regional accents. Here are some of the examples. And this is where, according to Samuel, it gets a little bit problematic. the praying mantis who'd bite your head off, well, that's a Scot. So the Scottish person gets the praying
okay.
mantis.
Right. That's, I'm glad it's not an Asian, though.
Right.
So, yeah, yeah.
The beetle, where do you think he's from?
He's got a Scouse accent.
He's from Liverpool. He's got a Scouse accent. But
fine.
He is a dung beetle. Bit unnecessary.
Oh, right.
The worm is from the West Country and sings about how much they love playing in the mud.
The worm has like a Cornish accent. Or like yes. a Bristol accent.
The stink bug is Welsh and sings about how he knows he stinks, but to him he smells sweet.
Oh my right. God, there's no good there's no good insect
well,
to
there
be,
is one.
Really.
The butterfly, obviously must be a posh, queenly London accent.
Yes.
So all the other yeah. accents, they're like shitty insects.
You could do Irish, though. Butterfly. You could do a little Northern Irish butterfly. I
you
think
could.
That would work.
You could.
It's like fairy sort of. They often do that with the fairy accents, don't they? They're all...
What, make them Northern Irish?
The sceptred isle. It's all Irish.
These are my woods. You'll not be wandering around our forests without a magical pixie dust on you.
Pineapple and cheese on a stick.
Pineapple and cheese. I have made a peaceful and legitimate request. We're fucking fairies.
Oh, I do love that. Oh, shit.
So fuck, I love that.
We've had loads of emails about the 6-7 rant that I had in a previous episode.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the corrections.
Right.
You're right. There are definitely things that we
didn't understand
had when we were kids that were stupid and meaningless. And but I've also had an email. I just want to finish this off with this is a teacher writing in about 6-7.
You took a lot of flack about 6-7.
I did, and that's absolutely fair. There was a good thread on the subreddit about it where a lad... Actually, let me read you that. I know just two more things. I know this has been a long one, but this guy, this was a really funny story. This immediately made me completely reconsider my opinion. Throwing my hat into the ring. When I was a kid, there were lots of random phrases we threw around with no real origin or meaning, but they never spread much further than our school.
Sure.
One kid said the word stroke in a funny accent once, and somehow this evolved into someone stroking someone's head when they missed a shot in footy and saying, stroke, in the accent. So it became this sort of you suck meme. Eventually, stroke became like, my wife from Borat. Everyone recognized it. People just said it in an exaggerated accent in reaction to almost anything. Most people in the school didn't even know the stroke kid. They just adopted it and the parents were left baffled. So I understand that sort of, I can imagine that meme. That's stroke, you know, like that's a whole thing that becomes funny at your school. I was just saying, I didn't think that we'd had a meme that was so meaningless that it spread so widely in such a short amount of time. And I didn't understand its origin. Here is an email from Cara, a teacher. I'm a frequent listener of the podcast. Would like to give my input on the most recent episode. That was the 342. I'm a 24-year-old trainee maths teacher from Norfolk. And in most recent term before Christmas, you would not believe the number of times I heard 6-7 or the mistakes I've made from accidentally having a maths answer involve 6-7. As a chronically online girl in my mid-20s, I knew this would be something that would come up before I got into teaching. Same with Italian brain rot. At the start of my placement school, me and all the other teachers were annoyed by the concept of the 6-7 meme as it would cause disruption with the students in the class by causing an array of laughter as the meme became increasingly popular. However, as the months went on, something changed. Almost the tone of the meme changed and it had almost become ironic somehow, especially with students. 0.67, for example, would be used as an answer and the tone changed and the students were laughing at it ironically, making fun of the meme itself and the way people react to it by reacting to 6-7. Side note, the use of the word irony may not be correct here. I'm a maths teacher, not an English teacher. I agree with what Pierce said about this meme not being like anything else because I do not remember any other meme changing to being ironic this quickly. Maybe I'm wrong and this is not the case for everyone. So the kids are already turning on the 6-7 meme and the teachers are struggling with it. I don't know if teachers, let us know. Have you struggled with every meme that's been popular? Has Ballerina Cappuccino been a problem for you guys and the same with it 6-7 has?
Well, look, okay. I think that this is part of it, though. Like, as soon as everything's accelerated, right? The spread is accelerated by TikTok. You know, some TikTok gets popular and it's shown to everyone through the algorithm. So they all see this thing and then it becomes this, it's not just one guy does a funny thing on the playground. It's one guy does a funny thing on TikTok and everyone on the playground everywhere around the world sees it, right? That's how it spreads so massively. But then also because it spreads so massively, everyone, like Jimmy Kimmel's doing it. And as soon as he's done it, it's not, it's like over. Do you know what I mean? It's basically...
It becomes like, cool and then it loses its cool.
Yeah. As soon as the Prime Minister's fast. Done it in the classroom, because the teacher was like, oh, don't do the 6-7 meme, Keir Starmer. You know, it's banned here. he killed it. He actually did them a favor by doing that.
He actually destroyed the meme.
He destroyed the meme. And so they solved the problem. We need to get the Prime Minister to do all of these shitty new memes.
Yeah.
As quick as possible.
You're right.
So that they can be over, you know? That's just it. I can see, like, the way it works. Everything is algorithms and trading, you know, changed the financial market. So everything's much, much quicker than it used to be. You know, people's reactions to things are immediate rather than, you know, people can just pick up their phone wherever they are and do a trade. Whereas they used to have to send a letter to their broker. A dear broker, I would like to quickly trade in my Apple shares as I've noticed they're declining quickly. Please do this forthwith. And then 2 weeks later, you know, your broker gets the letter and goes to the, you know, the stock exchange and finally trades them in. Do you know what I mean? It's very different now. Everything's fast and furious.
It is.
And I, for one, am not here for it.
No, bring back. I'm slowing down.
Bring back the old days.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Make everything slower for me. I'm old. Make everything I'm slow again. Down. Yeah.
Make America slow again.
Make life sluggish again.
Make America slow again.
Do not use that as a catchphrase. That does not look good on a hat either.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, dear.
Right.
Well, that's this week's mailbag. Thank you for all the
submissions, all the jingles, all the emails. It's a pleasure as usual. Good luck. Stay cool and frosty, and we'll see you next time for some more.
Stay warm and toasty.
That's a really passionate ending to the podcast there. Just not autopiloting. Thanks for the emails. Yeah, thanks for the jingles. Keep coming. Yeah, see you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.